All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And let's bring in Donnie Collins, Grand Times Tribune. Welcome, sir. Great to have you with us.
Great to be here, Steve.
All right. So let's start with the Texas A&M situation. You knew it was a possibility, but they've now, because of COVID, opted out of the Gator Bowl, and the Gator Bowl is desperately trying to find somebody to replace them. It's not as easy as people think because people haven't been practicing. And they're all scattered all over the country. What was your thought when you heard about this?
It's going to be. I don't know. There's just so many different things that are possible these days. It's hard to say. Oh, that's a surprising situation because it could happen. But it's just I don't know how they go forward here. It's going to be interesting to see how they make it happen. I think they will. But I just don't know. You know, where do you go? Everything's off the table now. Nothing seems to make any sense in the world anymore. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows because, I mean, like, we're now crossing bridges that weren't built. So we don't even know.
There's no playbook for any of this.
No.
You're placing with ones. You take from one to give to another. That doesn't make it's just a brutal situation for everybody.
All right. So now let's flip this over to Penn State because right now Penn State for Penn State right now, this is the off time. They practice Sunday morning and they don't practice again until Sunday night. Let's get to Sean Clifford. He is going to have his offensive coordinator for a second consecutive year. Can you put a price on that?
I don't know. I would think you can't because on the surface, the kids had how many different offensive coordinators now, and you know this will be it's been tough for him. Now you know for the first time really since he's been a player and at the helm of the Penn State offense, he's going to have the same offense. That's got to be a major boost. And I would think that's invaluable to Penn State. And I know for, you know, you're just looking over the possibilities at the end of the year. Everyone was asking the question, do you think Clifford should come back? If you're Penn State, do you want him back? I thought that was a weird question because obviously you want your quarterback back, especially off a good season. And I think he had a good season, and I think he learned a lot under Yurcich, and there was some development there. And I think there'll be a lot of development next year with him. So I think that's a win-win for Penn State, especially assuming you get that combination back. I mean, I think everybody assumes they will, I would think you would get a better Clifford. You'd get a better Penn State offense overall anyway, because now that's your offense. But I would think that, you know, if Clifford is the guy coming back for his second year, this would be the year you would see the most improvement from Sean.
Jair Brown announced yesterday officially that he is going to come back for the 2022 season. What kind of impact can he have?
That's the worst kept secret in college.
I
think he admitted 10 times during the year he was coming back.
I know.
The Lackawanna guys are amazing to me because they don't go before they're ready. They stick around and they leave on their terms, you know, when it's good for the program. And so I think he's really following the Brisker blueprint from last year where he came back when everybody thought he could get drafted. And still made plenty of strides last year, I think. And you know, I think it's very easy to compare those two guys, Brisker and Brown, because of where they came from. But I think they're two very different players. And you know, I saw a lot of this year with Poindexter coaching him up. I thought Jair Brown made a lot of strides again his second year in that system. But I would expect him to make a big jump even next year. He's always around the ball. He plays with great instincts. And I think that only improves, you know, coming back with that second full year playing all the time. I think he's going to be, and you could argue maybe next year, the leader of that defense.
Yeah, I think he's got to be one of the leaders of the defense. A pairing, and we'll see this in the bowl game, Keaton Ellis made the move from corner to safety. When we finally got to November, what were you seeing in Keaton Ellis in that safety spot?
Comfort. When he got out there early in the year, it looked like he was feeling his way through it. And Joe Paterno used to say, and every coach says it, I guess, but he was the first whoever I heard it from. You know, once you're comfortable, you can play fast. I didn't think Keaton Ellis was playing very fast last year, the beginning of the year. And I think as the more he got in there and the more he was used, the more noticeable it was that he was playing a lot faster at safety. And I think, yeah, to me, it's tough. I don't. That's one thing that I totally rely on coaches with, even after all these years watching football games. Well, you know, why is this guy a safety and not a cornerback anymore?
Right.
But you started to see it a little bit with Ellis. He's a pretty good center fielder. He plays that spot kind of like Brisker does. He's got good instincts. He knows what he knows the system very well. I think you need a guy like that at that position who's not going to make very many critical mistakes, because that's a position that lends itself to mistakes. You can make the wrong decision and it's a big play. It's not a little play. You're letting up 40, 50 yards. As Brisker did early in his career, though, he went up a few too many of those, but he didn't last year. And I think Ellis will kind of slide into that role. And once he understands his responsibilities, which I think he did kind of at the midseason point, I thought he played a lot better. But you know, they have some options there for next season. But I think Ellis clearly is going to get the first shot at it and soon.
Brandon Smith and Ellis Brooks have officially opted to enter the NFL draft. How interested are you now to see how the linebacking plays out?
Well, I think that's a major story now. Ellis Brooks especially, he played so steadily for the last two seasons, and I think he's been a really good middle linebacker for them. And the middle linebacker, they don't lend themselves to a lot of hype or a lot of the spotlight, but he certainly played very well for the last 2 years, I thought. And who's going to step in for him is going to be a major question. Yeah, I think there's a case you can move Luketta back, but I wouldn't do that because you're going to need Luketta at defensive end. You're going to need Luketta to do what he did. So, yeah, I think that it's going to be, you know, with Elston, I think they like him a lot. I've heard a lot of good things about him. I think he'll probably step in and do a capable job, and get better as he learns. But yeah, that's a position I think everybody should be watching now because you know who knows, they lose a lot of athleticism at the very least with Brandon Smith. I think he had some really good moments and some not so great moments. But you know, I think that they're going to have to find a way to replace some athleticism at that level that, you know, now that he's out of there, that the coaches did have to worry about on the opposing sideline.
I assume that when Manny Diaz had his presser the other day that you were a part of it. What were your takeaways from it?
Yeah, I thought he was slick. Not in a bad way. I thought that was a very interesting press conference from him. He spoke like a head coach, which he was 28. It makes sense. But he's a very, very confident guy. I talked to Jair that day. And he said, you know, he walked into our team meeting and, you know, kind of had the hand in the pocket and the chest puffed out and the hair slicked back and came in there and, you know, it was intimidating to those guys to see that kind of attitude coming out of the new defensive coordinator, the guy who just walking in. It kind of reminded me of like that kind of Pat Riley vibe from the Lakers days where it's, you know, it's his show now and he's going to take him to another level, and he's confident he can do it, and he knows his system works, and you know, you're either on board or you're not. But you know, he really articulated it very well. I thought when he got the Temple question second in that press conference and answered it as completely and honestly and as thoroughly as he did, I thought that kind of set the tone for that whole press conference, and maybe even set the tone for his whole tenure here if it's successful, because I think he won over a lot of people that day. There's this whole stigma, I think, still with he was the Miami coach, and it's different at Miami. But I'm not sure how different it is at Miami than it is everywhere else now with personalities and the way social media is and how popular all these guys are. So I think Penn State really, number one, could use an old head coach, an old Power 5 head coach on the staff. I think that's going to help them. And number two, I think they need that attitude. Hey, I think they need that swagger going into a season that's going to be a season of change a little bit for them on the defensive side of the ball. So I think he's, I don't know, maybe he sold me, but I think he's a guy who can affect some positive change really quickly. And I wasn't sure maybe at the beginning that was a guarantee, but I think now, you know, that's a pretty solid bet.
It's interesting because I've loosely talked about this with Micah Shrewsbury about that move from one chair, and now you're sitting in that chair. It's only one chair over, but it's not the same chair. James Franklin now has somebody else on the staff that has been a head coach in Power Five. How important is it that now he can talk to somebody that has sat in that chair?
I think it's vital. I think to have somebody to throw ideas off of, and not that he didn't. I mean, he probably threw ideas off of Brent and got good feedback. And Brent's been a head coach, quality coach, for a while now.
No doubt.
So I don't know that he didn't have that guy, but that now for sure have that kind of guy. And this is not foreign at Penn State. Ted Roof was a head coach at Duke,
right?
And Galen Hall was a head coach. So I mean, they've had assistants, mm-hmm. they've had coordinators who've been head coaches. But I think it's a little different in this case where you're a program that's at the 1 yard line, and you want to get over that goal line to be a perennial contender and a really strong force. I think you need that voice. I think you need the guy who's been at that level and could say, hey, here's how we looked at it when we played Clemson. Here's how, you know, we did it when we played in the Sun Bowl. You know, here's how we recruited. Here's how we wanted to build. Here's how we took the defense from a B-plus defense to an A defense at Miami in my first year. I think that he's a guy who can bring that. Now, I know everybody, well, you know, the Ohio State hired when they got Jim Knowles, but he doesn't have that kind of experience as a head coach. I think that makes Manny a little bit of a home run hire for Penn State potentially, because mm-hmm. he does have that voice. And just talking to him, I think he will not be afraid to use that voice.
Is the bowl game the last game of 21 or the first one of 22?
First one in 22. I mean, unless you're playing for the championship, and
right.
I've always thought that it's always the first one in 22. And look, I don't go way back with Penn State football. I remember in the early 90s when they played in the Citrus Bowl against Tennessee and whipped them, and that set up the whole. That was, to me, that was the first game in 1994.
Yep.
Because that's when you realized, hey, they're going to be a force next year. So I do think it set the tone. I think the Cotton Bowl would have set a tone in 2020.
I agree. In
a different world,
yep.
I think the Cotton Bowl would have been that for the 2020 season when they start, you know, when they were a top 10 team. So I think you haven't seen it lately, and fans in recent years haven't had that kind of an experience with it. But yeah, I think potentially for next season is a major, major game. I mean, especially when you consider they're going to be breaking in a couple of linebackers,
mm-hmm.
and Ellis, and then a lot of guys sitting in on defense who are going to have to play next year, right? And maybe didn't necessarily play this year. I think this is definitely a really good experience heading into 2022.
Donnie, always a pleasure. Happy holidays to you and your great family, and appreciate you very much.
Same to you guys, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.
Donnie Collins, Grand Times Tribune. Frank Bodani, next half hour, brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.